Well, the worst thing, of course, about losing that other podcast, because they've stopped doing it now, is the fact that we can't now say that, well, at least we're not the worst Tottenham podcast. So, you know, there we go. Right, let's start. Yeah, welcome to the Hotspurs podcast. I'm Steve, I'm in Leon C, and we've got Colin in Northern Ireland. How you doing, Cole?
Yeah, doing good. Mouth's doing good.
Old school introduction there.
Old school, it's been a while.
We've got no technology, so I had to do it on the iPad and just put it straight out. But that's all right, isn't it? That's how we do things around here.
Yeah, that's it.
So, Crystal Palace, you came over for the game. Thoughts?
Yeah, obviously it was great being over again, being, you know, meeting up with a lot of the guys, yourself and Dan and Martin and a few other boys I'll give a shout out to later on. But, you know, great day, brought obviously my young son Christopher over. I was probably more excited about having him over at the game. He's a wee bit older now, so he sort of understands football, and he absolutely loved it, loved being in the ground. And it was just a great day all round. Obviously, great result in the end, but performance-wise, which we'll get into, I've a lot to say about that there. And especially, as you know, whenever you're at the game, you know, it's completely different, Steve, being there live and watching things, and you see things, you can see the manager and just all these wee things that I sort of picked up. But all round, great day, you know, the end of the day it was 3 points. That was the most important thing, and you know, another victory for us.
Yeah, obviously, it's rare actually to say how poorly we played but still picked up the points. It seems to be that we're saying it a lot this year, and we're getting lots of luck this year. We don't normally say it, that's for certain. But when you analyse the statistics, and you know, why wouldn't you do that? You know, you see that games, for example, against West Brom, where we drew 1-1, you know, we've still had three or four times as many chances as them. And all the other games, you know, where we've won 1-0, like in the Palace game away, you know, we still had loads and loads of chances. But this game in particular, we actually, I think we had more chances on target, but they had, in overall of the game, they had more attempts, which is very, very rare against a side that are lower than us in the league. I remember the last time that happened was several years ago when we played Sunderland at home, and I think Tom Huddleston scored one of his only goals he ever got for us, and of course everyone talked about him for the next few weeks going, oh, what a wonderful player and all this and the other, and I'm sitting there going, but he does it every 6 months, for goodness sake. And they totally outplayed us that day and we won 2-0. This is what this game reminded me of. You know, one of the worst performances I've seen. You know, and let's go through it. I mean, you know, go on, mate.
Yeah, it was like,
let's break it down.
We'll talk about the first half. First of all, like, honestly, I have never, in all my times of being at White Hart Lane, and I've been to a lot of games, have never seen a performance like that. Obviously, you're there at all the home games, but it was terrible, Steve, and I'm not going to beat about the bush with it. You know, a couple of things that I will point out as well. The pitch, I don't know whether you noticed or you have noticed, the pitch to me looked in a terrible state. It's actually the worst I've ever seen White Hart Lane. One of the things that I always love when I walk, you know, walk up those steps and you get in and you see the ground, is, you know, it always looks like a carpet and you go, oh, I'd love to be down there. Wouldn't you love to be playing football in it? But as I arrived, Palace were warming up in front of me and the pitch was cut up and very, very sandy. I was fortunate enough to be down on the touchline before the game and just very, very patchy grass. And even when I noticed Spurs passing the ball seemed to bobble about a bit and just didn't seem to be that crisp pitch that we always seem to have. So I don't know whether there's a problem there at the minute, but it was a shocking first half, Steve. It really was. And, you know, a couple of the big points that I want to make was, you know, the crowd. You know, and we will get into the crowd because I really want to give Crystal Palace a big shout-out on this show. There definitely is a tension in the air. It's my first home game this season, and all I could hear was people moaning. You know, moan, and any time there was a mistake made, and it wasn't just in the West Stand, you could actually hear it around the whole ground. And I actually felt as if the players felt on edge. Tim Sherwood looked as if he was on edge with it. But, you know, okay, these guys are paid a lot of money to entertain us, and they should be doing a lot better. You know, they're still, okay, with nine players out, they've a lot of good players that are still on the pitch. But it was terrible, and there was, you know, to give examples of Kyle Walker and Aaron Lennon were in front of me in the first half. The attitude of those two guys was unbelievable to me. Like, they probably fought more with each other than played football with each other. You know, Aaron Lennon stands there, you know, with his wee chest out, standing on the touchline, and, you know, give me the ball. And if someone doesn't give him the ball, he doesn't move. You know, and we were actually all screaming at him, you know, Lennon, you know, get yourself, start moving. And you could see Walker was throwing his arms up, then Lennon threw his arms up back at him. And the two of them just as if, you know what, I can't be bothered playing with you today. And that's the way it sort of felt. But we just seemed to be so negative. We were so slow. And if anything, I turned around to the guy beside me and I said, Crystal Palace are playing the way we should be playing. And Steve, it was embarrassing. It really was embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, that little combination there of Walker and Lennon, you know, we say it every week, Lennon's best when he's running at defenders. And, you know, so you either give the ball to feet or, you know, that little ball that where Lennon runs round the back, you know, and Walker does find him sometimes with, you know, with the ball that goes through.
Yeah.
But it was like every single time Walker played that ball through, Lennon wasn't running onto it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what was going on with those two. I thought Walker was absolutely atrocious. You know, I tweeted in the week that everyone's banging on about how well he's playing at the moment. And I said, you know, well, considering he's playing so well, he was obviously the next one to get injured.
Yeah.
He did go off injured, but I don't think he was injured. I think he was feigning that. I thought he was actually playing really badly. And actually, Cole Norton, when he comes on, he played well. Didn't put a foot wrong, did he, old Carl Norton? So, you know, it's funny, we've said it before that his career was really going down the Swanee because he kept playing a left back. And, you know, other podcasts were actually saying, you know, why doesn't Carl Norton just give up and go elsewhere and blah, blah, blah. And people they were saying that, you know, it doesn't matter if you play left back or right back. Well, in my opinion, yes, it does matter where you play, whether you play left back or right back. You know, Stuart Pearce, I think, would have made a rotten right back, but he was brilliant at left back. Possibly not. I'm just suggesting, you know, and actually by the evidence, Kyle Walker is a useful right back, useless at your left back, you know, but based on that evidence on Saturday. Weird saying on Saturday, isn't it? I normally say on Sunday. But, you know, let's break it down a little bit. In terms of players, we won't go through the scoring system because that's a little bit boring now. But Lloris, I did have a quick chat with Pat Jennings before the game, and I said to him, have you been telling Lloris to catch it a bit more? And he just looked at me and he just sort of said, confidence. You know, it's all about confidence. When the ball's coming in, you catch it when you're confident. You punch it when you're not so confident. And that's what Lloris is going through a little bit at the moment. You know, Rocky in front of him. With the Dawson and Kirakesh, our third and fourth choice centre backs. You've got Walker, who had his worst game. You know, he's back to how he was in early season. You know, not firing at all, not playing well. And Danny Rose, who you know, is still trying to find his feet, coming back for injury. Is the answer anyway? I think he should be an understudy personally to somebody. You know, coming in on the odd game, you know, the European games, the cup games, you know, and you know, learning from somebody else, because, you know, if he's our left back, then I think we've got problems, because he's, what is he, fourth or fifth choice England right back, left back, sorry. You know, and he's only been a left back for about 3 years. You know, it's not as if he learned his trade as a left back. He was a winger, wasn't he? You know, and I'm not being massively critical of him, because I do like him, and he might be good, he might come good, but at the moment he should be an understudy to a really good left back, solid left back. You know, and then come on in a year or two, year or 18 months, and then be our solid left back. But at the moment, you know, I can't see him being somebody that a right winger would go, oh, I don't fancy that today against Danny Rose. I mean, I think they're laughing. And that, you know.
think you made a good point, and it was a point I was going to say. Confidence is the big word, Steve, because I felt that a lot of the players were lacking a load of confidence, and I don't know whether that is it something to do with playing at home at the minute. You know, they all look so nervous, and you know, the only ones that maybe didn't look, you know, was the likes of Ali Bayor and maybe the likes of Dembele and things, and the young lad Bentaleb midfield. But you're right, Lloris, he just didn't look like Lloris was the last time I seen him live. And you're right at the back, even Dawson, they looked a wee bit shaky. I was actually very impressed with Kirik. I can never get his name right. Chirich, as I call him.
Kirikesh played well. Yeah. But Dawson,
yeah, I thought he played well, but he's still a bit dodgy.
He is a bit dodgy, but you know, you expect that. He's learning his trade. And, you know, and Dawson, we know what he can do, we know what he can't do. And, you know, again, he's playing every single game at the moment. And, you know, I know Arsenal podcasts are saying, you know, how can Spurs keep picking Dawson, and all the while they're picking Dawson. We're not picking Dawson. Dawson's in there because Kabul and Vertonghen are injured. And, you know, as much as we love Dawson, we know his limitations. And he was caught flat-footed a couple of times. Shamak, I mean, where's he come from? Yeah. I mean, he played great, didn't he? Winning headers, getting himself about, little touches, good skills. It was a definite penalty.
So,
that was weird. And just moving into the midfield there, Cole, you've got Dembele playing out of position because he wants to play further forward. We all want him to play further forward, but he's being stuck back because he's not picking Kapu, and he's not picking Kapu, which is easy for me to say, because he's picking Bentaleb. Now, Bentaleb was our best player on the pitch. He played absolutely fantastic. And it's because he's probably gone out there and said, look, you're a young kid, go out there, express yourself, show what you can do. And he did. So he's playing with no pressure on him, which is great. And that kind of needs to be the words to everybody else. Although, also, there's loads of pressure on you, so you better blooming well perform. Then you've got Lennon, whose attitude stinks, you know, every 50% of the time. And then you've got Eriksen also playing out of position. So you've got bad attitude, Dembele out of position, Eriksen out of position, and young kid who's doing all right. But none of those four can tackle. None of those four, you know, get up the opposition and ruffle feathers. You know, they can all tackle now and again, but none of them, you know, are a Sandro or a Kapu. You know, one of those two need to be picked, in my opinion. Then going forward, last two, Adebayor, as you saw, I'm sure, gets himself about. And, you know, his first touch can let him down, particularly in the first half. But he got himself about and, you know, played well in the end. And Soldado, complete waste of time in being on the football pitch.
Yeah, well, you're right, and I'll go over a couple of people. You're right about Eriksen in the first half. I thought he had a shocking first half. Obviously, he scored the goal in the second, and he definitely improved. But, you know, Dembele, you know, there was a lot of people around where I was sitting, Steve, you know, slagging Dembele off. And I actually thought Dembele actually played quite well in periods. But what annoyed me about Dembele, he looks so strong, and I know he's out of position for what we believe, but he looks to me as if he really wanted to just go and take that game by the scruff of the neck, he could.
Yeah.
But there's nearly, whether it's someone's telling him that he's not allowed to, but it's nearly as if he just gives it, you know, gives the easier pass whenever if that guy wanted to, he could go and take it around three or four people.
Yeah.
And probably stick it in the top corner. And that's what annoyed me about Dembele. As you said, the young lad, Bentaleb, I thought he had a great effort, hit the post, thought it was in all the way. Thought for being a young player, had a really good game for us, maybe tired towards the end. Lennon just really annoyed me the whole day. I know, obviously, he set up the full goal. But, you know, Soldado was one, the round of the first half, that I really wanted to chat about. And he was, I've been giving this guy really going, he's a class player, he's going to come, but I really wanted to see him live. And I was devastated, Steve, I really was. But see, on the other hand, the guy's body language, his arms and shoulders were actually as if he was trailing them along the ground.
Yeah.
He almost looked to me as if he was looking around going,
what am I doing?
I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here. Or he's looking going, these players that I'm playing with aren't good enough.
Yeah.
It was nearly that kind of an attitude, and as if it just no belief. And every time he got the ball in the first half, he just wanted to lay it back. Mm-hmm. He never once looked at spinning round or made a move. I think he had one great move in the first half up in the right-hand corner where he got the ball and he flicked it through and he ran in the box and the guy just put it out for a corner. Pure brilliant skill.
Mm.
But his whole body language just looked to me, it was either I don't want to be here or these players aren't going to give me the ball, so what's the point? That's the way I felt. And I was gutted, absolutely gutted by him, and he had to go off. And funny, I'd said that, you know, obviously with Jermaine Defoe's leaving the club and going over to Canada, you know,
can I just stop you there? Because what I reckon is he's gonna score in the next 4 or 5 games. He'll probably score in every game, and then he'll be off.
Yes, exactly, and I thought that as well.
No, that was my
because
get out in there before you.
It was crying out for him to come on. It was crying out, and it lifted the whole place, Steve. It really did, and for me, obviously being there because I'll never see him play again probably for Spurs. It was fantastic, and obviously Christopher there being with me, he loves Defoe, and it was great for him to be there, and what a great goal. But you know, one other point I really want to bring up as well is just the atmosphere, Steve. The Crystal Palace fans, for anybody that wasn't there, were unbelievable, and I know they've got a great reputation of what they do at their home games, but they were great, and it wasn't just a pocket off them, Steve, it was that whole corner. Like, I, as you know where your seats are, you're very, very close to them. And I could see old men and kids and women up singing, and I just absolutely loved it. They really made the day for me.
Mm.
But I was devastated by the Spurs fans' response. And I know the West Stand always gets a load of stick, but it isn't always up to those guys out there. You know, the guys behind the goal, that's where the atmosphere always is meant to be.
Yeah.
And there was no songs, there was nothing. There was the odd, you know, Yed Army, or I didn't even hear O.N. the Spurs.
Well,
even whenever we were winning.
Yeah, I mean the West Stand, you know, as a matter of fact, is probably where people sort of go to, aren't they? After they've done their stint, after they've done their 20 years behind the goal, you know. It's I know I'm lucky enough to have seats up there, and I'm probably the youngest guy there. You know, I'm surrounded by old men. You know, will tell you stories of standing behind the goal and, you know, UEFA Cup 84 and going back through the 70s and 60s, you know, and they now, they're getting on a bit, but they still go, they've been going for 30, 40 years, and they want to hear the next generation. So I've said to you, Cole, you know, I look down and I see all the young guys there and I think, why aren't you singing? They stand. Did you see at any point the stewards telling them to sit down?
No,
I haven't seen that all this season. So I think
I've stood in there, Steve.
Right.
At a game at Wander Red Apple would be QPR.
Hmm.
I was in there and I stood the whole game with all, and it was brilliant.
I think Saturday.
For some reason on Saturday, nothing happened.
I don't think they can say it. I don't think they can say it officially. You know, on the website, oh, you now you can stand. But I think Saturday they've said, listen, you know, unless there's dire straits, sit them all down. I did used to see stewards waving everybody to sit down, but I just haven't seen it all this season and probably last as well. So that's a myth about telling people to sit down all the time, you know. And I'm sure somebody's going to say, well, I was told to sit down. Yeah, okay, you were, but generally you just don't see it anymore. So you're standing up, why aren't you singing? You know, you should, if you moan about the atmosphere and you stand behind the goal, do something about it. You know, we've got that 1882 going to happen again for the European game. They're going to make loads of noise. It'll be brilliant.
And we've said it before. I wish, you know, there could be a block there or a section there, you know, behind that goal near the away fans that was designated for guys that want to sing, because I honestly, Steve, I was embarrassed.
Well, they should all be singing, you know, and then we should all be singing as well. But what I'm saying is, if I'm you know, 38, and you know, I wouldn't mind singing. But if I was when I was 28, I wanted to sing all the game. I wouldn't stand behind the goal and be quiet. I wanted to sing the whole game. Now I've got kids, and I just want to, I want a couple of hours peace and quiet away from the missus.
I'm 40 and I want to sing.
Yeah, because you come over on the plane and everything and you're up for it, you know, but only because I'm lucky enough to go to every game. Yeah, you know, but a lot like you, you know, if you was behind that goal, you'd be going, come on, let's all sing. I don't know why they're not doing it. Unless they're embarrassed, I'm not sure.
And it really was embarrassing, and I hate saying that about supporters. And I know there's a lot of people there, you know, there's a lot of tourists and, you know, people over just for one game. But, you know, the Crystal Palace fans just put us to absolute shame. But I just wanted to give them a really big shout out. I thought they were brilliant. Some of their songs were fantastic. You know, they sang at us, "Is this the Emirates? You know, is this a library?" You know, that all of their songs were witty. There was nothing vile. You know, they weren't into singing any like what Chelsea and West Ham would do. It was all great banter. And, you know, what really annoyed me, once we were 1-0 up, and then especially when we went 2-0, we should have been giving them loads of stick, you know, about, you're going down with the Hammers, or, you know, singing those songs, or you're not singing anymore, you know, because we were winning.
Yeah.
But we never done it. And even when the final whistle went, Steve, the Palace fans were unbelievable. So they were, and it's just a point I wanted to bring out on the show tonight.
Well, what's weird is that they do bang on about it, don't they? The younger guys, they say that there's no atmosphere and what have you, and then they go to the games and they don't get involved in the atmosphere, you know.
Yeah.
So you can't have your cake and eat it.
It depends where you're sitting, Steve, and if all those guys aren't sitting together, then it's hard, because when I was sitting there Saturday, I was busting to. I just wanted to stand up and look around everybody and go, right, come on, you know, let's get a song going. But if you're in an area and there isn't those people around you, that's why I believe Spurs as a club maybe need to look at block 35 or 36 up there, you know, up behind the goal, to say, right, this is a designated area for the hardcore. There must be a hardcore support season ticket holders up there that want to sing.
Yeah.
Let's put them all together.
Yeah, you know? It must be easy to organise. And even I'll tell you this, why don't they put on the screen? Do you remember? I remember we watching Arsenal games at Highbury when they used to have come on you Reds. Do you remember? And like hands clapping. So why don't they have on the big screen? Come on, every I don't know 15 minutes, a little come on you Spurs. When the Spurs, you know, flashing up. That's all right, isn't it, to do that? That's not too embarrassing to do something like that, would it be? To get the crowd singing?
Yeah, I think so. I actually tweeted last night to the Spurs drum. Mm. I said, let's get them back. I know you weren't for them before whenever this was all brought up, but, you know, I was sitting
Well, I didn't mind some of the songs, the Spurs drum, but I didn't like the Indian chant because I thought that had absolutely nothing to do with Tottenham. Just everyone clapping, going do 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 do.
But see the thing, Steve. I would love to have heard that on Saturday because it might have actually got people making a bit of noise, you know. But like we won't harp on about it. But you know, just to round up the second half, you know, massive improvement, absolutely massive improvement. You know, they came out, you know, straight away, got in there, brilliant goal by Eriksen. You know, good ball by Naughton, flicked on by Adebayor, and a fantastic finish. And, you know, the place went wild, and I was delighted, especially for Christopher, for him to see a goal live at White Hart Lane.
What did you think of Adebayor?
Sorry?
What did you think of Adebayor in the flesh?
He wasn't any different to what I expected, but I'll tell you one thing about him. He works hard, and he, as we've always said, he is a presence. And if he wants to, he can be unplayable as well. And he had a wee bit of a fight in the box. I don't think they maybe showed that on TV. You know, he had a bit of a scuffle, so he was up for a bit of a fight there. One thing that I did notice, I don't know whether you've seen, Les Ferdinand in the second half when it was 1-0, got up and gave him an absolute roasting.
Did he? I didn't see that.
Adebayor was actually quite near the touchline, and Ferdinand was nearly on the pitch, pointing at him and chewed the head off him.
Really? Good.
Adebayor sort of threw his hands up as if to go, what? But see, that was happened. Do you remember Adebayor started to drop back in and win the ball, and he was moving across the pitch?
Yeah, I thought the second half he played much better. You know, and just getting himself about and what have you. And
well,
I think him and
Ferdinand,
I think him and Defoe actually worked really well together. Funnily enough, which is
funny. I said that although there was quite a few around us, and you know me, I'm quite vocal. And I said, flip that guy, come on. I said, well, I reckon we should put in a £10 million bid for him and get him signed back, you know. So I got a bit of a laugh there. But
of course, we have seen Defoe do that, haven't we? I mean, if he starts, I would be well inclined to start him against Swansea based on that performance. And very likely you'll see the old Defoe of, not doing too much. Not much movement, but then he's got the excuse that he's going, so we can't really do that. I think we have to stick with Soldado because or play five in midfield and just say, listen mate, you know you're not up for this at the moment, don't know what's going on in your head, you know, stick him on the bench and then, you know, bring him on with 20 minutes to go and just say, go on, you know, earn your keep, go on and score a goal for us or whatever. We'll come on to the Swansea game in a minute, mate. Anything else to say about the Palace game?
No, not really. You know, say the only other thing, sort of when we were 1-0 up, you know, I still sort of felt that our play was really slow. You know, we were knocking those balls about along the back and it was slow. And we were all going, just let's attack this team. If you noticed, whenever we went 1-0 up, Stoke didn't change their formation. They still had 10 men behind the ball. Yeah. They actually didn't know what to do. They had no other game plan. But I sort of went, even though it's 1-0, the last 5 minutes, Stoke are just going to bombard us, which, if you think about it, they did, even though it was 2-0. Yeah, or sorry, Palace. Yeah. You know, they still done it in the last few minutes. Well, they did make a couple of saves.
I'll tell you what,
we were lucky we got the second goal.
If I was a Palace fan, I'd be livid at Match of the Day. Did you see Match of the Day?
Yeah.
But they showed the Defoe goal and didn't show the last 20 minutes. I mean, in the last 5 minutes, they had three headers that went just over the bar. And the other young fella who had a brilliant shot. So Palace were by far the better side, even in portions of that second half. It just goes to show when you watch that shambles of Stoke, where they did have a manager who was really organised. And they say they played a certain way, but you know they had decent wingers and what have you. They got rid of Pulis and then got Mark Hughes, who had failed at QPR and several other clubs. And, you know, that's a really weird one for me. Sorry to go into other things, but hey, you know, we like all football, don't we, Carl? We're not just blinking for Spurs, we watch all the games. I'll tell you what, one little thing about that Arsenal game. Can you remember the last Arsenal game you saw where the opposition didn't give them a goal? Just go, there's the ball. We did it for them. Villa did it for them last night. The Southampton goalkeeper did it a few weeks ago. So every time you watch him, it's like, hey, here you go, Jack Wilshere.
Everything's just going for them. But as I said last week, you know, maybe it's just going to turn around and we'll get the run. You know, that's the big point that we need to make. We've sat here mainly tonight and slightly moaned and been disappointed with the team, but we won a game.
Yeah.
And that was my strangest feeling, Steve, walking out of White Hart Lane. It's the first time I've ever walked out after a victory and actually felt slightly downbeat just by the performance. But then I had to realise, you know, look, Sherwood's come in, he's won 4 and he's drew 1, one of them being away to Man United. You know, so look, we can't fault the results, but it's so hard to believe that we're moaning and complaining and we're 2 points off the top 4 and still within touching distance of other teams there. So, you know, we've got to take positives out of it and obviously get these players back and fingers crossed we'll start to perform, play a wee bit better.
Yeah, hopefully. And just remember that Liverpool are a Suarez injury away from capitulating.
Yeah,
and Arsenal are a Mertesacker and Koscielny away from capitulating. And it just amazes me. We said it back in September that as soon as Mertesacker or Koscielny get a knock, out for 6 weeks, like our players. How long have our players been out for now? Vertonghen, Kepel, Sandro, now it's Townsend, Paulinho. You know, the list goes on of team, these players that are central to our team.
They're
not out for 2 or 3 weeks like Giroud was. You know, these guys are out for months. We just can't play our full-strength side. So everyone that looks at it goes, oh, you know, that Spurs are this, the Spurs are that. You know, it's not Spurs. It's Spurs B team at the moment. And, you know, I just want to see our full-strength side, which I don't think I've ever seen for a number of games. But listen, let's move on then. So what's the fantasy football standings?
Okay, fantasy football in first place is still Dan Jones. Dan's well ahead there. Then with John Perez, Chrissy Rich, Patrick Morris, Kurt Foltek, Adam Barrett, Sharni Mann, Daniel Pearson, Paul Glover, and ASD Andrew, who I'll give a wee shout to in a minute. Steve, you are in 88th place, and I am still in 14th. Still well within touching distance there. Most points this week with 103 points was Adam Barrett, who's actually in 6th place. Really, really good week. I had a look at his team, and I think most of his players scored.
Mm.
So he had a really good week there. And just at the bottom, there's Angus Doodall, Graham Lambert, Kate Coggins, Ryan Shaw, and Stacey Bonfield. So, look, brilliant fantasy football. Keep it up, and it's always good fun to see how everybody's doing.
Yeah, oh, Kate Coggins. Kate Coggins, if she ever wants to meet in the Bell and Hare, no problem.
Okay, no problem.
Anyway, carry on.
Okay, I want to do a couple of really, really big shout-outs, but the first thing I want to do, obviously we do the Saving Stacey appeal every week, Steve.
Yeah.
And Dee, who always sends me wee emails and lovely messages, had sent me a link on Facebook just to say that there's actually a book being published for poems, and it's called The Girl with the Beautiful, or The Girl with Her Beautiful Poems. And it's the girl in the pink bandana. So she asked me, would I contact the Spurs poet to see if he would do a poem for Stacey. So I give Davey a wee call, and you know how good Davey is. Davey's done an absolutely fantastic poem for us. So I'm going to read it out to everybody, and I'll also put it on the Facebook page. So it's called Superstar Stacey. See that face of one so young captures the essence of what she's done. Makes my spirit explode with pride, beat the demons, no time to hide. That smile that lifts a thousand hearts, unite the voices from many parts. Stand up, Stacey, one so young, the ball is rolling, this has now begun. Sorry, I just can't get this to move. Sorry about that. Courage, desire, and a will to fight, so proud of Stacey, help this plight. All for one and one for all, I cannot refuse this fitting call. Book of poems, small stories too, Stacey's here, a poem just for you. One so young has an effect on me, fighting a fight for all to see. That girl in pink with that huge smile, walking every footstep mile after mile, bandana on, new fashion trend, we all want Stacey on the mend. Good times, bad times, they come and go. She battles on, goes with the flow. Little girl, you really must know, you enter the room, you steal the show. Be strong and let the others hurt. Young, you're the hero, and that's a cert. You give hope to many others. You're the pretty rainbow colours. You're the one who should be proud. Little girl, voice so loud. Stacey, you're a legendary name, more thought of than the players at White Hart Lane. Super Stacey, we all shout, you're our hero, there's no doubt. Super Stacey, fighting back, fight the illness, attack, attack. Never ever have I been so in awe, many idols have dropped my speechless jaw. But none compare to what you do, my hero without doubt is simply you, the Spurs poet. Brilliant poem, absolutely brilliant. Sorry about me having the slight break there in it there for everybody, but my laptop just slightly froze on me there. But what a poem, Steve, and it brings everybody into reality, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very important, that one. So keep that one going, definitely.
Yeah.
So we've done the fantasy football. We a great poem by David.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Massive shout out. Lee Moore and his son, and also Dylan Legrand. I call him Legrand, but it's actually Legrand.
Yeah.
I actually left the Bell and Hare after I'd met yourself before the game, and I walked outside and I seen these three characters standing, And I noticed it was Dylan straight away with his white Spurs tracksuit top on and Lee Moore, and they were all tucking into lovely big juicy hamburgers, you know. So I walked over and sort of gave him a pat on the back, and obviously he recognised who it was. So we had a great chat, and obviously said we'd meet him later on, and, you know, went back to the Bell and her after, and I stayed with Lee. I was probably with Lee for a good hour and a half, having a few Fosters.
Kev was there.
Yep, and you were there as well, met him. But, you know, absolutely top guys. Dylan and his son were around getting autographs, and then they came back in, and we, again, we hung about for another while. But I just wanted to give them a massive shout out. They love the show, you know, love listening to, you know, what we're trying to do here. And it was really good to meet you guys, and definitely look forward to meeting up with you again.
Cool. Any more shout outs, ASD?
Yeah, just one last one. Obviously, I met ASD, met Andrew for the first time from the Football Fancast. And Andrew Rockall, who was at the game with you, Stato.
Yeah.
Just big shout out to you guys as well. Really, really nice to meet you. And there was a couple of guys from America with him, Utah Spurs, at Utah Spurs on Twitter. So big shout out to those guys as well.
Yeah.
And just look really good to meet these guys. I know we didn't have a lot of time, so hopefully, you know, we'll meet up at future games.
Yeah, brilliant. Just for me, obviously, I'll mention it every week, which is the marathon I'm doing this year, the London Marathon. If you go to Virgin Money Giving and then type Steve Robinson, I'm the picture is with me with my two girls and with my little boy on my shoulders. Steve Robinson or Robbo the teacher. Donate 10, 20 quid, whatever you can. And I'll take you to a Spurs game at some point. I've got Andrew Rockall's already came to a game. Tom Cousins is most likely going to come to the Everton game. Steve Taylor, Michael Mountford, Edward Santelli, MD, Michael Roland Hill, and Simon Napper. Some of these guys might be in America. So they've donated, but, you know, they're so generous. They haven't even said what game they want to go to or got in touch through Facebook or Twitter. Guys, get in touch through Twitter or Facebook somehow, you know, let me know what games you can come to, or, you know, certainly the European game coming up. There should be a spare ticket for that one. You know, let me know and you can come to a game. Anybody listen to this now, go to Virgin Money Giving as soon as you've finished listening to it. Donate 10 quid, come to a Spurs game. Brilliant, you know, or 20 quid. Brilliant. 20 quid, and then you don't have to buy my beers.
That's it, fantastic seat as well.
And then just, just let me know on Twitter and then, you know, we'll organise something. So that's really good. And then we've got Swansea coming up, Cole. You know, there's some players coming back. Certainly a few players I'd have straight back in. You know, as soon as they're fit, Cabal and Vertonghen will come straight in for me. You know, you've got a Walker situation there where Norton came in and played quite well at right back. Probably stick with Walker for another game. But I tell you what, you know, if he plays as poorly as he did the other day, then, you know, allow Norton to come in. Or if Walker needs a bit of a rest, you know, get Norton in at right back.
Yeah.
Get his confidence up so the two of them are pushing for that position. Left back, you know, you're sticking with Danny Rose at the moment. Yeah, he needs games. You know, he does need games. But I would certainly look at a left back coming in. You know, I've said, if Baines is going to Man United, Everett's going to need to go somewhere because he ain't going to sit on the bench. Put a cheeky bid in, or just look round. You know, there's 600-700 clubs in the world who have got a left back. There's got to be one or two decent left backs out there. Then into midfield, if Andros Townsend's fit, he comes straight into the side for me.
Townsend played today for the under-21s.
Yeah, comes straight back in, either on the right for Aaron Lennon, who needs a attitude adjustment again, it seems. You know, or give Eriksen put him into the middle or give him a bit of a rest. I don't think Paulinho's fit yet. Sandro hopefully will be back, but if not, you know, Kapu, something's wrong with Kapu, he might be out the door. You know, Bentaleb, as well as he played, you know, he's brilliant, well played, Bentaleb, but, you know, we've got to get our big guns back in the side, and for me, Dembele is brilliant. I want to see him pushing on. And possibly if that's too many in midfield, then Soldado's going to have to sit on the bench for this one. Because I think that, you know, Swansea are a decent side. You know, with some good, strong players, particularly up front. And so we might have to cut out that midfield, you know, and we need to go there, be strong, Adebayor up front, you know, be up for it, please. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I say it's going to be a tough game. Swansea play some great football. They're having a tough season, but, you know, it's definitely going to be difficult. I think the big bonus, and it's hard to believe as Spurs fans were saying it, but we're playing away from home, Steve, and we play so much better. Forget about Arsenal now, but we play so much better away from home. I think the pressure's off the players. There's a hardcore of 2,000 to 3,000 Spurs fans down that corner who will sing. And we know our away fans are probably one of the best in the country. They will be there. They will sing their hearts out for 90 minutes. And, you know, Swansea fans are probably sitting looking at them on Sunday going, oh, these supporters are good. You know, so I know the away fans are absolutely fantastic. But, it, you know, it's up to them. The players, I think, will be a lot more relaxed being away from White Hart Lane. And, you know, but we've got to be on our game. This is a tough game. But if we can come out with 3 points, Steve, it'll be massive because we have Man City at White Hart Lane the following week. So...
yeah,
it's a big, big game for us.
Yeah, I've just got a funny feeling that these two games where we might struggle with these next two games, unfortunately.
I think they're going to be two tough ones.
Yeah, I just think it might be a bit of a struggle. You know, we need to get these players from injury back. We're playing, you know, a B side, playing loads of people out of position, and you know, at the moment, although we're winning. You know, we're not playing too great, but you know, we get a few of these players back, and you know, it'll be good. You know, Arsenal cannot sustain this full strength side that they seem to have every single week, apart from maybe one or two players dropping out here or there. But it's like Giroud was played all those games. As soon as you get injured, Walcott comes back in the side, and then Walcott gets injured. Hey, Giroud's back fit again. You know, why can't we have that? You know, so it's a bit weird that, but hey, you know, let's just concentrate on ourselves, and you know, if we can keep going, you know, keep the luck going, that'd be nice, and play a bit better football, we might be all right, Cole.
Yeah, well, just got to keep the fingers crossed, keep the faith, and keep believing. As you say, massively important. We get some players back in. We need a wee bit more quality in there, and just a. But let's just keep it going, and you never know, maybe it's our year to get that late run and get that run of 7 or 8 wins in a row and push up into that top four. So
long way to go.
You never say never.
It's a long way to go. Cheers, Cole. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.